Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
No, it's crazy, but we're here. I'm crazy. I mean, all of us, aren't we all crazy to a certain point, a certain extent? I mean, look at our lives. We go through, we meet these people, we marry them. We don't even know who they are, really. Well, sometimes we do. we create children and send them into the world. I mean, all of it's kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, getting on a flight. We might have somebody being dragged off the plane. You don't know when that might happen.
Apparently.
I love the way United is now apologizing, and they're changing their tone. The CEO is apologizing and all that stuff. And PR-wise, the stock price went down, and we talked about it. And, it's a case where I think police were called in. I was watching this morning, and they did have police go on there.
Well, it was actual police.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So they could say, well, go to the desk and say, well, it's a civil matter. Don't invite me in here and deal with it.
Right.
It's like one time when I had a woman who babysat for me. She was a tenant in my building for a while when the kids were small. And she was mad at the landlord or something, but some rent dispute on the rent. Or she called the police. Police came.
For the rent now?
Police came. And they said, well, ma'am, that's a civil matter. There's nothing we could do. It's kind of like with child support. You don't pay child support. You go to jail if you're the man. But if you're the woman with primary placement, or even if you're the man and you have visitation, but not primary placement or equal placement, you have visitation, and you don't have the kids back when you are supposed to, they can be arrested for that.
Yep.
But if you're the woman and you have primary placement, and you don't have the kids at the drop-off or whatever when you're supposed to, you don't get arrested. The husband would have to, or the ex would have to take it to court. That's a civil matter. So when they're doing all those changes in family law, there was still anger on the part of the angry men crowd, which of course would have included me, although in my case I got to see the kids whenever I wanted, so it was different. Civil matter, criminal matter. Now we have a matter of taste, of political correctness, or at least in terms of saying things. Now, Sean Spicer, the White House, what'd you call him? Just press secretary. He wouldn't be communication director, that's somebody else. But the press, he goes out in front every day and talks to the press. Now, I was that for a year for the Attorney General, Jim Doyle, and, you're on the hook. You're speaking for the Attorney General.
Fun
for everything
job,
you
yeah.
say. It's careful. So, and of course, I would always say, well, the Attorney General doesn't drink, smoke, or chase women, and I don't smoke. But I think they got the joke. But still, here's Sean Spicer trying to condemn the use of chemical weapons. As a lot of us did. I did my 2 minutes with Mitch video. A lot of us did that in the show and so forth. But he tries to make his point and goes a little off course. Sean Spicer won.
We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You had someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons. So you have to, if you're Russia, ask yourself, is this a country that you and a regime that you want to align yourself with? You have previously signed on to international agreements, rightfully acknowledging that the use of chemical weapons should be out of bounds by every country. To not stand up to not only some, but your own word should be troubling. This is Russia put their name on the line. So it's not a question of how long that alliance has lasted, but at what point do they recognize that they are now getting on the wrong side of history in a really bad way, really quickly.
Okay, so even Hitler didn't sink to the level of using chemical weapons. Now, of course, Hitler used chemicals in the gas chambers, killing millions. And you think, well, that's an obvious, well, that's a mistake. I mean, there have been mistakes in history with presidents. Gerald Ford, 1976 debates. There is no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe, and there won't be in a Ford administration. I mean, you're laughing. You're not even old enough to remember that, right? Yeah. So that was a mistake. And I remember John Chancellor. I think President Ford made a mistake on the Eastern Europe question. Yeah. The next day, Hubert Humphrey, that's right, 30,000 tanks. Yeah, and there's no domination. You know, whatever. So, but here, clearly the man, I'm not saying that he seemed like a nice guy and people, everybody makes mistakes, but he was thinking about battlefield use of chemical weapons. That's what he was, the word he didn't have in there was battlefield, on the battlefield. First of all, he shouldn't have used Hitler because that's a bad choice. But when you think of Holocaust survivors, and I know some, and my good friend from college, his mother is famous, Ava Kaur, one of the twins at Auschwitz, and they're good friends, and we've got been part of my life in terms of knowing her and him and so forth, and I know that it's a very deeply, deeply sensitive issue. So when you're out there speaking, you know, they don't really give you a lot of second chances. I mean, he's apologizing, handle it. Well, he's handling it okay. But, you know, you're out there talking. Don't play the Hitler card. Now, he's trying to make the point that chemical weapons are simply not used. It's not done. Hasn't been done on the battlefield since World War One. Now, General Mattis also yesterday did a news conference at the Pentagon, and he said that. Chemical weapons, because they're trying to say, what's the plan here? What are you going to do next? He goes, wait a minute. The fact that they use chemical weapons is something that hasn't been done on the battlefield since World War One. We're not going to tolerate it, and if he does it again, he's going to pay a stiff price. That was a great answer.
Yeah.
That wasn't, are we trying to get rid of Assad? Are we trying to send in troops? And he goes, we're not going to send ground troops. And President Trump, in an interview on Fox Business, said, we're not going into Syria, which means we're not going to go with ground troops. We actually have some troops on the ground supporting the against ISIS currently, but nothing like massive ground troop divisions. Anyway, but so you say that. And so later, I mean, he got in big trouble. And here's what's also interesting about this. You have North Korea in the news. You have them talking war with the U.S., threatening nuclear strikes, all these things happening in the news. Various other stories in the country with health care or taxes or whatever the case. But all three networks, meaning the traditional networks, CBS, NBC, ABC, led with the Sean Spicer screw-up. And so part of this topic here, A, it was a screw-up. B, he did apologize. And C, it was indeed used aggressively as the lead story of the day. Now, when somebody apologized, remember when they said, it was a reporter who reported that the Trump team had taken the Martin Luther King statue out of the White House, and it was retweeted by 3,000 people. And then later the reporter apologized because it was not correct.
Somebody was standing in front of
Now, when people on the right, when Kellyanne Conway and when Team Trump and when Fox News and when friendly Trump people like talk radio types went nuts over that. Say, hey, they lied. It didn't come out of the statue. Then the mainstream press would say, well, but the reporter apologized. He apologized. Now, here, Sean Spicer apologized right away, but it didn't stop three of the major networks from leading the news with it. Actually, there is no Fox Network. What am I thinking? No, there's ABC News, CBS News, ABC News, and then Fox News Channel.
Right.
But there's no Fox Network News, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll just say the three news broadcast networks that do news. What does Fox Network run during that time of the night? I don't even know. See, I don't watch TV enough to know. But we'll come back, though, because you want to hear the way Sean Spicer was grilled by Wolf Blitzer of CNN over this. He wouldn't let him apologize. He just would not let him apologize. We'll come back. This is the Mitch Hink Show on MedicineTalks.com.
If you're a B2B business owner or manager who also sells, have you ever said, I wish I could be in more than one place at the same time? I need more me. As the owner, you're great at sales because nobody knows your product like you do. But administrative and operations work take too much of your time and take you away from bringing in more business. Now there is a revolutionary new solution. Discover it in a 3-minute video at needmoreme.com. Now you can be in more than one place at a time. Learn how at needmoreme.com. That's needmoreme.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is a thing that you want to think of. It should be at least the third thing that pops into your mind. MadisonComedy.com is where you can go to find a complete schedule. Any comics that you could think of, we've had.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com. The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, back with the phones too. 210-1667, 210-Erica 608. Now, here is Sean Spicer. We played the mistake. Obviously, he didn't say the right thing, and it was dumb, but he apologized. He did apologize. He didn't double down. He didn't say, well, Hitler at least, you know, he said, well, that was a stupid. I shouldn't have done that, yada, yada, yada. But, of course, here is Wolf Blitzer grilling Sean Spicer about the mistake.
Sean, thanks very much for joining us. I know you want to clarify what you said, but why did you even make that comparison to Hitler on gas attacks? As you know, 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, many of them with poison gas.
Well, thanks for having me, Wolf. I was obviously trying to make a point about the heinous acts that Assad had made against his own people last week using chemical weapons and gas. And frankly, I mistakenly used an inappropriate and insensitive reference to the Holocaust, for which, frankly, there is no comparison. And for that, I apologize. It was a mistake to do that. And you know, I appreciate Director Panetta's comments, and we'll keep those in mind.
So tell us who you're apologizing to right now. There are Holocaust survivors out there who were listening to what you said and couldn't believe a spokesman, the press secretary for the President of the United States, would make such a statement. So just specifically, tell us who you want to apologize to.
Well, clearly, you know, anybody who not just suffered in the Holocaust or is a descendant of anybody, but frankly, you know, anyone who was offended by those comments, it's not, as I said, I'm not you know, in any way standing by them. I was trying to draw a comparison for which there shouldn't have been one. It was insensitive and inappropriate. So I'm not looking to quantify this in any way. It was an attempt to talk about, I should have stayed focused on the Assad regime and the dangers that they have brought to their own people and the terrible atrocities they did, and to drag any other comparison into this was not appropriate.
Well, why make the comparison at all? Why bring Hitler into this?
Well, again, I'm not going to try to quantify it. Well, if it was a mistake, I shouldn't have done it. I won't do it again. I think Director Panetta's comments were well received as advice, but it was an attempt to do something that shouldn't have been done, and that's all I can say about it. There really is no explaining it at this point. It's just to say that, especially this week, it was not something that was inappropriate, and it was insensitive. And you know, look, I think I should have stayed focused. The president obviously took decisive action last week to bring an end to the crisis in Syria. Take action that hadn't been taken for the last 6 years, and the focus should have stayed on the president's action and not in any type of way of drawing anything into this.
Did you not know, Sean, that there were gas chambers where the Nazis brought Jews and others, gypsies, homosexuals and others, mostly Jews, to slaughter them in these poison gas chambers at Birkenau near Auschwitz and other death camps?
Yes, clearly I'm aware of that. Again, it's as I said initially, and there's no attempt to clarify this. The point was to try to talk about the use of aircraft as a means by which Assad was using this to gas his people. But it was a mistake to do that. And again, that's why I should have just stayed on topic, stayed focused on the actions that Assad had taken and the horrible atrocities that he committed against his own people.
Have you spoken to President Trump about your blunder today?
Obviously, it was my blunder, as you put it correctly, and I came out to make sure that we stay focused on what the president's doing and his decisive action. I needed to make sure that I clarified and not was in any way, shape, or form any more of a distraction from the president's decisive action in Syria and the attempts that he's making to destabilize the region and root out ISIS out of Syria. So my goal now and then was to stay focused on Assad, and I should have, and I'll continue to make sure that I stay in my lane when I talk about that.
I want to move.
All right. So why would you do that? Why? So, yeah, I'm an idiot. I mean, at some point, it gets the police officer. Want to tell me why you were going 12 miles over the speed limit? Why? Because I'm an idiot. I don't deserve to be alive. What are you going to say? Obviously, given the fact that General Mattis later said chemical weapons are used on the battlefield, he should have said on the battlefield, but not talking about Hitler. He should have used Hitler's name. But again, he goes, I screwed up. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I no excuses. And isn't that what your mom and dad teach you to do when you screw up? Let's go to the phones. 210-1667. Hello, Steve.
Mitch, oh, thank you for playing that. I couldn't believe it, but I do understand why they're focusing in on this. With you know, it's the most important issue in our world today. But the last thing, you know, I woke up this morning and I looked at my iPhone, and I get news alerts from respected news organizations like Fox and CNN, and I think I can lump them both in the same basket right now, because the only news alert I got on the very important election in Kansas that the Republicans won was from Fox. So I Googled this morning, and CNN doesn't even have it listed. The only thing that the top news item for CNN that comes up is how the Republican seat is in danger and Democrats are motivated.
This morning,
sure sign that
you missed MSNBC this morning when they said the margin was smaller. Smaller than what it had been in the past.
Well, Mitch, they cannot report. They literally cannot report the Republican won, because that goes against everything they're trying to say.
Well, it just doesn't fit the narrative. I understand.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And who cares about the
now,
truth?
Now, Steve, I have to tell you, Steve, I was a communication director once, and I will say that what he did there was a stupid move. But, again, he apologized and said it was essentially a stupid move. And what he didn't... Two things. To mistake two fronts. Don't mention Hitler's name, period. And B, he should have said on the battlefield, which he didn't say, which is
I agree.
A prepositional phrase.
I agree.
But again, the apologies were like forceful and very sincere, I thought.
I did too. Now, Mitch, how many times did Wolf ask President Obama why he said 57 states in that one speech? Doesn't President Obama, is he not?
Well, I wouldn't compare. But geography and gas chambers don't compare, Steve.
Oh, well, nothing compares, Mitch. Nothing compares to anything else. That's the liberals' mantra.
But do you think gas chambers and geography are the same?
Well, I think that a sitting president that believes we have 57 states is
You didn't answer my question. In terms of the merits.
No, I'm not going to, Mitch, because both are ridiculous. Both are absolutely ridiculous. That is my point.
Well, but there's greater weight on gas chamber use against innocent humans than forgetting how many states or how many rivers or how many mountains there might be in Montana.
Well,
here.
I'll disagree, Mitch, because if Trump or Spicer had said 57 states.
Well, now that's true. Yeah, I agree.
By Wolf.
Or they would have been interrogated more. I agree with that, certainly.
Yeah.
But thank you for the point. Let's go to Joanne. Hello, Joanne.
I feel so sorry for Sean. I've taught a little bit of public speaking along with my other business courses, and I've heard everything coming out of people's mouths when they're agitated. I'm sure you've heard everything, too.
Everything at some point.
You're usually on target.
But a
note on that. Trump will look very, very good for laying off on Sean. Because there's something in almost all of us that has to empathize with Sean at some point. The poor schmuck is over his head, and there are no invitations from Mensa or other groups coming for Sean. And he seems to be genuine in these apologies. It hurts me to listen to them again. I mean, I'm thankful that you're playing for them and all that, but it's so sad. And again, Trump, for giving a break to a regular guy like Sean, I think he'll score a few points.
Well, I think Sean is a decent guy who screwed up, and I think the fact that he's going on and facing the machine guns and apologizing is commendable. I mean, he's not doubling down. I mean, if he would have doubled down, then you fire him. I mean, the guy's apologizing. You know he's screwed up. What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, the news is good for blowing up little things and making them the item of the day. I mean, we have to put things like...
They do it when Republicans screw up. Because when Obama said Navy corpsman, or when he said 57 states, he didn't get the scrutiny that... I mean, it's not the same. I would submit that.
I'm just thinking something like that United flight situation. It's a minor thing. But it blew up into this incredible story because a lot of us empathized with the individuals getting dragged out and all that, even though his story is more convoluted than one might think. But again, empathy. You know, we all look at that Sean story from a different the Spicer story from a different perspective. We can empathize or maybe be angry. It's Passover. And a lot of people are...
I understand. No, it's a horribly insensitive and dumb comment. But people do things. What can I say? I mean, he who is without sin may cast the first stone, if I may be so bold.
But there's a perfect storm that happened. You know, it's a perfect storm of, the Passover time. But also, a lot of people like myself looking at Sean and thinking, wow, if I'd be up there and I'd be speaking... And I'd be so nervous and all of that, and God knows the types of things he has to say. I mean, the Trump administration's had some rocky times. I mean, everybody can admit that it's just rocky. And Sean's the person who's got to answer all those questions. From
Rocky Top, come on, let's see, home sweet home, me. Oh, Rocky Top, Tennessee. I know what you're saying. It's one of those deals. But
you take the job. That's my question for you, Mitch.
What?
Somebody comes to you with and you'd be the perfect Sean Spicer. I really mean it.
Well, very kind.
That honesty, that humility, sense that I would tune in to watch your press conferences. Would you take that job?
I would do it, but I did it for a while. But I didn't have to do daily press briefings. But I talked to the press every day, and it was okay for a while. But eventually, they're going to get something wrong, and one of our lawyers made a mistake, didn't file something on time, and so a rapist was released. We had like a month of horrible press, and everybody was screaming at each other. Oh, yeah, it can be very bad, you know. And the best thing you can do is, well, our lawyer made a mistake. You know, all you can do is say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, or I'm wrong. I was an idiot. You know, one of the best guys to ever handle a deal was Mike Ellis. Remember Mike Ellis?
Yes.
He had a drunk driving arrest. You know, he was well into his 50s. And he next day, he invited the media to come to his office. And of course they did. I mean, they were there from like 10 a.m. till like 8 at night. And he sat there and answered every single last question. And he said it was the dumbest, most asinine, damn fool thing I ever did in my life. And it was a one-day story. Now, remember when Peg Lautenschlager got her DUI?
Oh,
like, well, yeah. Of course, she made a statement and said, I'm going to go back to my office and do my job. Went, no, you don't do that. The press is done with the story when they say it's done. You don't tell them, go away, I'm going to go do my job. You know, when they read those statements and walk away, that doesn't work. Never works. So I was just screaming, pulling my hair out. You know, what you do is you say, well, that was a stupid, dumb, idiotic thing I did, you know. And then they eventually go away then. Anyway, thanks a lot, Joanne.
Thank you so much. Lots of fun. Bye.
All right, take care. We'll come back with more on the Mitch. This guy, this fat guy in North Korea, what's going on? Playing with nuclear weapons, threatening to use them again. I mean, what's this guy doing? I mean, it's like out of a movie. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
We'd like to remind you that every day right here, 11 to noon, right after the Mitch Hanks Show, we present Wide World of Radio. I'm your host, Bob Abella, and I pay tribute to the stars of radio's golden age. Today, it's the great vaudeville stars of the glamorous Ziegfeld Follies of the Air. In excerpts from the 1936 radio premiere, singer and comedian Fanny Brice salutes the master showman Florence Ziegfeld, and she introduces the mischievous Baby Snooks character. Don't miss Wide World of Radio right after the Mitch Hanks Show, today, 11 to noon.
For nearly two decades, Troy Research has been measuring attitudes and opinions for our clients worldwide. Success is determined by your customers. What do they know that you don't? Ask them. For Sony Motion Pictures, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Historical Society, Troy Research has asked questions that made decision makers wiser and more successful. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884. Or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim sold our new construction house in a matter of hours, and on top of that, we sold it above the asking price. That's a great testament to him. He priced it perfectly and talked about its features to a T.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
This is Kirk Dobinspec, Badger Hockey alum. I highly recommend Tim Rail.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one.
as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on The Mitch Hanks Show.
Now, I think we covered Sean fairly, at least in my mind we did. Now, on the people make mistakes, right? I mean, are you perfect? I mean, people are screaming, are you perfect? How could he do that? Because he screwed up, that's why. Now, when it comes to diversity, Walter Williams, who's clearly a conservative economist, but he has a great piece this morning on metastasizing academic cancer. And the quest for diversity on campus, is there really diversity of thought, diversity of ideas, or is it just one way or the highway? In other words, if you are a progressive liberal on campus, you fit in with the majority. And, of course, I was in college more liberal. I was never a total lefty, you know, sort of Gary Hart volunteer as opposed to Walter Mondale and so forth, coming from a Democratic home, or at least mother. But I was never, you know, a radical, and I tried to work within the system kind of thing, but still. And of course, I went to Butler, which was a conservative place. But my professors, I don't think I had any Republican professors. I mean, I could read them pretty well. I mean, you had some that were like moderate Democrats, and I had one openly communist professor, which I enjoyed, Dave Mason. But I don't think I had any conservatives. I mean, there were my history professors and political science professors and English. They weren't conservative people. I mean, my English professor, Ms. Cabot, who I liked a lot, she was just a radical lefty. And I mean, who are you gonna? You're not going to find people on campus. I mean, John Sharpless is the closest thing at UW's campus. He's a history class. He's a Republican, but he's also a libertarian. I think he voted for Gary Johnson for president. I mean, the guy's not a right winger by any stretch. I mean, I'm pretty sure he'd be pretty liberal on Monona's decision not to criminalize marijuana when smoked at home by an adult. Anyway, Walter Williams says, the average American has little knowledge of the extent to which our institutions of higher learning have been infected with spreading cancer. One aspect of that cancer is akin to the loyalty oaths of the 1940s and 50s. Professors were often required to sign statements that affirmed their loyalty to the U.S. government, plus swear they were not members of any organizations, including the Communist Party, USA, that sought to overthrow the U.S. government, yada, yada. Which is a dark time in our history, right? I mean, you should be able to think whatever you want. Fortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down loyalty oaths as a condition of employment in 1964. Yeah, good for the Supreme Court. Today, we're seeing the reemergence of the mentality that gave us loyalty oaths in the form of mandating that faculty members write diversity statements, especially as part of hiring and promotion procedures. They are forced to pledge allegiance to the college's diversity agenda. For example, University of California, San Diego requires that one's contributions to diversity statement describe one's past experience, activities, and future plans to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in alignment with UC San Diego's mission to reflect the diversity of California and to meet the educational needs and interests of its diverse populations. George Leaf, director of research at the James G. Martin Center for Academic Renewal, has written an article called Loyalty Oaths Return, with faculty diversity statements. His article documents the growing trend of mandated faculty diversity statements, such as that at Virginia Tech, in which candidates should include a list of activities that promote or contribute to inclusive teaching, research, outreach, and service. College diversity agendas are a little more than a call for ideological conformity, writes Williams. Diversity only means racial, sex, and sexual orientation quotas. In pursuit of the agenda, colleges spend billions of dollars on offices of diversity and inclusion, diversity classes, and diversity indoctrination. The last thing that diversity hustlers want is diversity in ideas. Which I think is true. Having been to college 35 years ago, there wasn't a lot of diversity of thought on the faculty then at a conservative place. I mean, Butler, are you kidding? I think Rolling Stone did a story in about 1970 saying that Butler was the home of student rest. you had unrest other places. You know. Drive down to IU for unrest, you know, but you want rest, go to Butler. I mean, he is now saying that the ratio of Democrats to Republicans might be 20-1 on campus. Nearly 100% of political campaign contributions from liberal arts faculty go to Democrats. Cornell, for example, 97% of contributions from faculty went to Democrats. At Georgetown, 96%. I'm sure you could do it. I'm just being honest on this, folks. You could go into the newsrooms at CBS, NBC, ABC News, find how many liberals or Democrats, oh no, I'm sorry, conservatives are. You wouldn't find virtually any. You would at Fox. I mean, that's the point of Fox. They're an alternative. So diversity of thought is not in play, as Walter Williams, I think, accurately describes. This idea of diversity of cosmetics, have different. I mean, you can have different cosmetic appearances and have different views, intellectual views, which is what you would want on college campuses. But that's not what's going on here. So really what it is diversity, multiracial liberals. It's multiracial Democrats is what we're talking about here. UW, you want to tell me that's different at UW? Well, that's fine, Mitch. We don't want fascist Nazi. I mean, so if you had William F. Buckley, or you had even Stephen Ambrose, or you had even John Sharpless speaking, there would be some in my audience who would say, well, we don't want. I mean, John Sharpless is in no way. I mean, in no way is John Sharpless intolerant of anybody based on race or religious background. In fact, he teaches in his class, as my daughter told me because he took his class, that a lot of successful American actors, entertainers, and so forth, athletes, whatever, would move to France after the war because the French weren't bigoted. They go into restaurants, bars. I mean, there wasn't the bigotry. Whereas if you're from Memphis, there's certain places you couldn't go to. But if you're in Paris, you can go. Now, maybe you get out to rural France, it might be different. But, you know, that. So, yeah, he's the last. So you can be a conservative thinker and really believe in the sanctity of the individual and be critical of the state and have that view and not be a fascist. And not be a bigot. I mean, was Milton Friedman a bigot? Was William F. Buckley Jr. a bigot? I mean, you'd have to prove the case. I mean, you could argue that he was, but to prove the case, I don't know. But, I mean, just the very difference of opinion on economics or education or sociology, it doesn't exist on campus. We'll come back with more on this, and thought it might generate at least a call. Now, the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch Hanks for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How often do you take a case all the way to a jury trial?
What we do that's different from some firms is, when necessary, we take the case to trial. It's the ability to do that and a track record of doing that that gives you the leverage to get a fair settlement for the vast majority of your clients. There are lawyers out there who actually will not take them to trial. And it doesn't take the insurance industry, of course, very long to figure that out. So their leverage is minimal when trying to negotiate a settlement on the case. Whereas the lawyers at Atterbury, Cameron, Haig have all demonstrated an ability to take cases to trial, it's that track record that provides the leverage to get a fair settlement so that we don't have to take the cases to trial.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo's a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
So, I think it's worth discussing this. 210-1667, 210-1667. Diversity on campus, does it do any good to promote diversity on campus if in fact we only mean cosmetic diversity? We do not mean in any way ideological or philosophical or political diversity. I mean, it really, what do you think? I mean, to me it doesn't. I mean, when I was a freshman, I was, you know, a red hot Democrat, of course, coming from my family, and you know, I was on the phone all day, election day, for Birch Bayh, who was our U.S. Senator from Indiana, Democrat, on the phones trying to get people to get to the polls, and do you have a ride, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I was on the phones for like 6 hours straight. I thought I was personally going to get him over the finish line. We turn on the news at 6 o'clock, and NBC News declaring that Dan Quayle is going to upset incumbent Virginia. So my phone calls didn't do any good. But of course, my English professor, Ms. Cabot, I remember her. She loved Birch Bayh, and I went with her to a Barry Commoner speech. Barry Commoner was an environmentalist who ran for president. Dave Cheslovich voted for him as a young man. But these were not, and I'm trying to think back to all my professors, based on what they said and stressed. I had one history professor, Dr. Farber, who still hated Bobby Kennedy because Bobby Kennedy worked for Joe McCarthy. Didn't forgive Bobby Kennedy. And that would have been, what, 30 years before? Oh, well, he worked for Joe McCarthy. Yeah. I suppose you're right, yeah. Needed a job at the time, but, you know, no forgiveness there. But yeah. So I think that says that people do not understand other points of view. They don't have a balanced approach to political debate or political discourse. And in my moonlighting job, as I'm driving around at night, I have kids in the car. And I'll hear the conversations, of course, but yeah. I'm not plugging my ears. And they'll say, well, my boyfriend's father votes red state. He votes red state. But he's a pretty nice guy.
Otherwise, yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. I mean, he's a red state voter. God. When I tell my aunts, I try to be contrarian, as you probably could tell. And I'll say, because somebody, who said this? I want to give the name away because it might get that person in trouble. But I know a small business owner who said that Republicans write on the front of the check, Democrats endorse the back. And I go, well, I kind of smiled. I mean, when I was down and out and needed money for my new company, and I, you know, got laid off by iHeart, previously Clear Channel, I went to a bunch of rich Republicans. I mean, I asked a bunch of rich Republicans if they wanted to invest, and they did. I didn't go to the person who was rummaging around the dumpster for food. Hey, can you give me, $5,000? No, I didn't do that. Well, Mitch, that's just not fair. And I understand, but I think I have one investor who calls himself a Republicrat. You know, it's kind of both sides, but most are Republicans that I went to who had money to get. Now, when it came to the state and these supposedly people-friendly government, when I wanted unemployment for like 1 week, I couldn't get it because I was running around trying to get investors and sponsors, and I didn't have time to work 32 hours a week at Menards, so I couldn't get unemployment. So the government, which is supposed to help the little people, I got zero from these rich Republican one percenters. I got money to start the company. So, I mean, you know, I tell you, gee, Mitch, that's not very well. I could have gone up and down Bascom Hill. Excuse me, sir. Are you a professor, ma'am? You're a professor? Yes. Could you give me $5,000 so I can start my company? They would just walk past.
Good luck.
They would have just like spit at me. I mean, I'm this idea that we hate all these rich people. You know, my high school, there's this beautiful new football stadium. Some rich guy gave like $1 million. I mean, I realized it write-off or whatever, but the guy gave like $1 million or something for the whole thing. He did. It was this rich dude. Another rich guy, Bob Roerman Toyota. He sells Toyotas in Schaumburg, too. You might see his dealership in Schaumburg. But he's from my hometown of Lafayette. He spent $1.5 million or something on this new performing arts center at my high school.
Nice.
And he said, well, it went for Lafayette Jeff. I wouldn't be where I am now because, you know, I guess he owes changes in his young life to some of his teachers or whatever coaches. So he went, so now he's rich, and he gave money back to build a big, giant, and I've been to shows there. It's great. My nieces perform in this place because this rich guy gave the money. Oh, yeah, way to go, Mitch. Yeah, it's great.
Well, it is.
Well, it is great.
Yeah.
I didn't give money for the performing. You didn't give money for the performing center or the football stadium.
Darn right. Yeah.
Not you. I meant you, the listener. So this hatred.
So I talked down the guy.
Of the
you
rich.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but on the Walmart. I love the Walmart heirs point. I get in these discussions, and just to make my really hardcore lefty friends get mad, which is not hard to do. You know, it's the lesson about the kid in school who's hardcore progressive in college, and she gets A's. And a Republican father said, well, what about your friend? What's she going to get? Well, she's going to get C's. Why don't you give her half your grade, make it fair? Give her a B, you know, just agree to a B, she gets a B. Isn't that fair? Well, no, because I worked harder and I did my homework and what did she do? Well, she used to go out at night a lot and she didn't really study much. Oh, well. But isn't it fair that you give her half your grade? Why is it fair that you get an A and she gets a C? And so, of course, Dad is trying to teach, you know, his daughter this Republican lesson. And I'm telling that story because my daughter heard the story from one of her friend's fathers once. I go, well, yeah, she's kind of mixed up right now, you know. And he's going, well, what about the Walmart heirs? They didn't earn anything. They were just the children of the Walmart. So he says, well, that's true.
Children of the Walmart.
That's true, but the Walmart. Children of Sam Walton, or descendants of Sam Walton. That's funny. The Walmart, like the Flintstones. And so I go, well, they own the stock, right? They own stock. But they don't tell the franchises how to run their business. I mean, these are franchises run by franchise owners who have to pay the payroll and have to buy inventory and all the stuff. And they have to, they have no bearing on that.
Right.
And they just own stock. So do you want to take away their stock? I mean, if they're living in Switzerland in the ski loft, what do you want to do? Is the government going to seize their stock? I mean, what are you trying to say? Well, it's just not fair. They didn't do anything. What did Paris Hilton do? Well, she's made some sex tapes that I think I saw one of them years ago. But she didn't do anything. She goes, well, that's right. But are you going to say that she, whatever she has in the way of dividends or Hilton Hotel stock, is our team of government agents in black hoods going to go and impound her account? Is that what you're advocating? Well, I just think she shouldn't have all that money. I've heard the same argument on Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh, who may not be the highest. I'm sure he's not the highest paid college football coach, but he's paid like $5 million a year. Now, Michigan, they have 106,000 seats or something, the Michigan Stadium, and they're sold out every game. And the tickets are, what are they, $50 or something? Mm-hmm. But it's 106,000 times 50. I mean, do the math. Yeah. They can afford to pay him $5 million. I mean, it's not right. The chemistry professor doesn't make fun. Well, you have it. People aren't driving and flying in and paying big money to see the chemistry professor. I mean, as long as you're not paying Jim Harbaugh, the football coach, with tax dollars, why do you care how much he gets paid? I mean, they obviously can afford to pay him that, or they wouldn't, in money generated by private enterprise, private sale of tickets, of shirts and hats and whatever, TV revenue. That's not tax dollars. How are you paying for Jim Harbaugh? You're not. Yeah, but it's not fair. He gets $5 million a year. Nobody. Oh, who's okay? So again, do we have the team of black hooded agents going in and seizing his money? I've got a friend who said, well, you know, it's going to get so bad that people are going to storm these palaces of these rich people, and they're going to climb the palace. Well, they're going to move in? Because probably the biggest giant, the most humongous mansions out there probably can only serve about 10 to 20 families.
Right.
I mean, you go in that corner, I'll go over here. What about the other families? They can't get in. There's probably another, you know, 80,000 families out there that can't get in the palace. What are you going to do for them?
Rotate.
Just rotate. Pick a number. Who's gonna monitor the rotation? The government, the cops.
Right.
Well, it's like country clubs. You ever see the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas? He was like going on his rampage. It was a really funny movie. He just turned into a maniac. He was whatever. But he went on this golf course. He goes, people should be, families should be having picnics on this ground. Wait. You know? And some old guy had to get his nitroglycerin. He's having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And the cart goes down the hill, and he's got his nitro, and Michael Douglas goes, now you're blanked. It was kind of a warped film, but, you know, George Carlin, toward the end of his life, went on a crusade against golf.
Mm.
There's an anti-golf movement because it's tearing up the earth. And so my point is, what could be more beautiful than the golf course? I mean, what better purpose for the earth is there than to have a golf course? Families having picnics, you're going to have garbage. No, I don't go with that at all. They won't let any garbage on these golf courses. Come on. Oh, well, now I'm just ranting. But no, we have a monolith. We have uniformity of thought on campus, which really, now, the way I come from a more conservative place, so I was a contrarian liberal to them. Now that I moved to the Madison Isthmus, which is kind of Beijing West, I go contrarian. That's kind of the way that's the way I roll. I'm sorry. Call me Nettie. Call me crazy. On the Mitch Hink Show at MadisonTalks.com.